Well, you know that it's going to be alright. I think it's gonna be alright. Everything will always be alright when we go shopping. Well, you know that it's
Hello, shoppers, and welcome to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show on 1350 KRNT. My name is Johnny Wright. Welcome to the program this fine Saturday morning. We're just past a click or two past 8 o'clock. Good show for you. Different kind of show. An amazing story of one woman's courage to overcome an insidious disease. I'm going to talk with her cousin, Dawn Mills, coming up here in just a minute or two. Also coming up a little bit later on in the program, pet therapy. I wrote a post about the power of dogs this week, and I write a blog post called The Unsecret Shopper. You can Google it. You can see it if you go to www.theunsecretshopper.com. Todd Severus is an actor, dog trainer, volunteer for Pause and Effect. He'll join me coming up later on in the program, talk about a new PSA campaign that hits the Des Moines airwaves, which focuses on service dogs, which help returning war vets. A great program. He'll also talk about his acting career coming up. And we'll have some correspondence, email, and Facebook, Twitter, in Unsecret Shopper, the Unsecret Shopper mailbag. I'll dig deep down into that. And we'll talk a little bit about some of the responses. And always interesting to get feedback. You can check out The Unsecret Shopper at www.theunsecretshopper.com, where you can email me there, Facebook me, Twitter, anything you'd like to do right there. You know, it's the 21st century. It's a whole new ball game as far as staying connected. Your weather forecast, kind of the same old ball game. Clouds today in 28. And listen, nobody's complaining. Now, if you're living in California and you're getting high at 28, then there's a lot of complaining going on. They wouldn't know what to do with 28 out there. But we know what to do with it here. Stay inside, wrap up, turn on the fireplace. 12 tonight for the overnight, partly sunny, but cooler Sunday and 18. Snow for Monday, 30% chance, though, is all, and a high of 16 currently. We're at 20 now. And cancer. We all know somebody who has had it. We may have had it ourselves. If you're lucky enough to survive it and get through it and it's in remission, God bless you so much. And for those that are taken so early from us because of cancer, it is devastating to watch that transformation. My mother, my grandmother had brain cancer when I was, gosh, I guess it was in 75, 76. I would have been 12 years old. It was hardest thing in the world to watch her deteriorate slowly. This very strong woman, you know, my grandma Dorothy, was eventually taken in 1976 from us, and it was the first person who ever died that was close to me. And so the coping mechanism, what do we go through? Well, I'll tell you, cancer hits a lot of people. There were over 220,000 new cases of lung cancer in the United States last year, over 150,000 deaths. We're just talking about lung cancer only, which is the most common form of cancer. One out of every 14 men and women will be diagnosed with lung cancer in our lifetime. And 90% of those who get lung cancer, it comes from, you know it, smoking cigarettes. Non-smokers, we're not off the hook either. We live with a smoker. We have a 25% greater risk of lung cancer. I grew up with my mother and my grandmother smoked like chimneys. It was crazy. When, in fact, after my mother passed, I remember taking a wet cloth and wiping it down the wall of the trailer in the living room where she lived. And it wasn't just brown, it was black. Just horrific. In fact, 3,000 cancer deaths a year are attributable to passive smoking. There's also a genetic predisposition to get lung cancer. My father died of lung cancer, a man that I've never met, and he was not a smoker. So, yeah, with a lot of things. And then you got asbestos, and you got pollutants in the air, of course, and so that's what makes cancer such an insidious disease. Stage 4 lung cancer in particular, when you get that, when you're diagnosed with it, it is literally a death sentence. There is no cure. The cancer is advanced. In fact, those diagnosed with stage 4 typically have about 8 months to live. 5-year survival rate, 10%. In other words, only 10% of the people diagnosed with stage 4 actually make it 5 years in. By the time people have been diagnosed with lung cancer, 40% of them are already at stage 4. And then there was Brenda Carpenter, who I met through an extraordinary woman, two extraordinary women. On December 14th, Brenda was leading a normal life here in Des Moines with 4 children, struggling to get by financially, but doing okay. And then wham, a diagnosis of stage 4 cancer. And you can read part of her story if you go to my blog post, www.theunsecretshopper.com. You can also Google search A Promise to Brenda, which was the name of the post that I wrote last week, which has garnered a lot of attention. And one of the true blessed angels in all of this is the woman who was closest, really, to Brenda, and that is her cousin, Dawn Mills. She joins us this morning. Good morning, Dawn.
Good morning.
Don, tell me a little bit about your background. Where did you grow up? Where are you from originally?
I'm from here in Des Moines, Iowa. I was born here for, I'd say, half my life, and then, well, the first 10 years anyway. Then I lived on a small farm just south of Des Moines, about an hour until I graduated high school, and then I moved back up here and have been a resident pretty much the rest of my life up here.
And so family, you still have family in the Des Moines area?
Yeah, we've got quite a bit of family here, yes.
And you have brothers and sisters?
Yes, I have two brothers and one sister.
And your relationship to Brenda, explain to us through whose side and how you're connected as cousins.
Okay, her mom and my mom are twins, and we were born 6 months apart. She's 6 months or was 6 months older than myself, so that put us pretty close in age. And her mom and my mom always hung out together. Therefore, she and I hung out together from even the time that I remember that. Gosh, maybe when we were three, you know. I mean, she's been in my life since I can even remember way back. So we've always been as close as sisters, and, you know, we've always talked to each other almost daily on the phone, and she's been a pretty integral part of my life for as long as I've been alive.
And so you've lived in Des Moines most of your life. Did Brenda also live in Des Moines most of her life?
Correct. I think at one time they moved to New Mexico for a while, but they came back. So it was when they were real little, when she was real small.
Help us through understand a little bit about Brenda's background and history. She grew up. Does she have siblings?
Yes, she has three brothers and one sister.
And they live in the Des Moines area
as
well?
Yes, all of them.
So what's her story? She graduated high school. Did she move away or get work, married, all of that?
She graduated high school. She went to Lincoln and had a little trouble there, so she went to Scavo and got her GED there and graduated from there. She met a gentleman that had been in prison, and her mom told her that she was not going to marry him, and she defied her mother and distinctively married him just because she was told not to. She had two boys by him, and then he was into some drug activity and some illegal things and was sent away to prison for 16 years. And so that kind of left her struggling on her own for all those years. She did try to, you know, hook up with somebody else or a couple different people just because she knew that it was a long time to wait for somebody. And he had told her actually to, you know, go ahead and find somebody else.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, 16-year prison sentence.
Yeah.
It's like almost a death sentence of a loved one. And so. Did she struggle with that? I mean, obviously, she was, I assume she loved this man who had made some, obviously, some bad decisions, ended up in prison. Did she struggle with moving on from him?
To some degree, I think. I mean, there was a little bit of resentment there for him not being there, I think, for the kids.
Sure.
You know, and she didn't know what was going to happen when they got out, so she just kind of took it day to day. I mean, you know, you got to live, you got to survive. You can't stop being a parent, you know, especially mothers, so you keep on going.
And then she had two more children
yes.
by a couple of different men. I know she wasn't married, but two beautiful. All of her children are just gorgeous. Oh,
yes.
My gosh, they have such beautiful features. What nationality was she?
She was part Indian. Her father was part Indian, so she's got like a quarter something, some kind of Indian ethnicity to her, so...
And so while all of this is transpiring over the years, you two obviously are more like sisters than cousins, and you're sort of watching all this, and you're friends, and you're hanging out, you're
yep.
talking to each other, and just, what would you consider yourselves, were you best of friends or very good friends?
I would say best of friends, yes. I mean, I would call her every single day. I mean, or if we were too far to call, we would write. I mean, always, always. She's been there, you know, like I said, Johnny, my whole life.
Let's backtrack a bit. I understand that she started smoking, when she was 12? Is that what she told me?
Yeah, when she was 12 years old.
And of course, I remember being in your living room and talking to you and Brenda, and there was, you were sort of discussing, and it was sort of funny because you were saying who influenced who to start smoking. It was sort of like
she influenced me to start smoking. Yes.
And how old were you at the time? Well, you had to be 12 as well.
I was 12, but I don't think I really started really smoking until I was 14. I mean, I, you know, sneak one here and there, but not on a full-time basis. And when you're 14, you can't get them unless you kind of steal them from your parents. So that's what I did.
Sure, it's about having a source, right?
Right.
Exactly. When she was growing up and going through men and trying to figure out her own life and get the pieces together,
sure.
Obviously she had you to, I mean, she must have been relying on you heavily emotionally to try to help her through some tough times, yes?
We've both been. I mean, we've been through the birth of all our kids together. We've been through men. We've cried over many men, although I have never cried so much in my life since she's been gone. I mean, there's no man that I've cried for, you know, she's been my rock as well as me being her rock. So,
yes,
it's quite a loss to me. It's definitely devastating.
When and she had been diagnosed with emphysema about 4 years ago.
Correct.
Had that diagnosis changed her? Had she? I know she tried to quit smoking several occasions.
Right.
Did that sort of change the playing field for her a bit? Did it give her a little more incentive to stop?
I think yeah. She tried and she did pretty good. I mean, she didn't quit completely, but she did. You know, she tried to quit and got down to maybe 2 cigarettes a day, and that is like amazing. You know, but then the stresses of life kind of pull you back into your addiction, so. Mm-hmm. You know, then she just kind of picked it back up, so.
And one thing that she was adamant about, even though her husband was a, and her mother was a junkie, yes? This is what she had told me, or was into drugs, is that correct?
Yeah, she was into drugs when Brenda was growing up, all through her childhood. So Brenda didn't really have, like, a quote, normal childhood, if you will. She had to take care of her brothers and sisters, so she was kind of thrown into the caretaker position very early in life. Her mother did later in life go through treatment and, you know, is clean today. She's not still on drugs or anything today. So, you know, but Brenda held a lot of resentment towards her mother for that because of all the things that she had to do and grow up.
Sure. And then her father, who she didn't meet until she was 18.
Mm-hmm.
And then only a few years later, then he succumbed to brain cancer, correct?
Yeah, correct. That devastated her because she was really wanting to get to know him because she'd never met him her whole life. And, you know, when that happened, she was really extremely upset.
And she, remember her telling me that she swore to herself she was never going to let them, her words, cut her open. She was chemo.
Right.
She wasn't going to go, if she was to suffer the same fate as her father, she was not going to go down that
Correct.
Road. And then, of course, on December 17th.
14th.
14th, I'm sorry, the 14th, the unbelievable news that she gets from doctors and that she has stage 4 lung cancer. And for people who aren't familiar with that, did she explain to you what had been explained to her by the doctor exactly what that meant?
I was there, so I went with her. She had some preliminary tests. She just knew in her gut that it wasn't good. I kept telling her, don't worry till you have to worry, although I was worried too, but I just didn't want her to know. But you know, we went in and the doctor did explain to us, you know, yes, you have stage 4 lung cancer, you have 4 tumors on your lungs, and it has metastasized to your liver. She broke down, and I was just kind of in shock, and she point-blank asked him, how long do I have? And he said, 4 months, and that, I mean, her and I mean, our stomachs just hit the floor. It was just like, what? So, and he told her that without chemo, she would have approximately 4 months, and with chemo, it might double to 8. So she, you know, like before when you were talking about she didn't want to go through any of that, she opted at that time to go ahead and go through the chemo just to try to get the extra 4 months so that she could spend with her kids.
I can't even imagine at that point what must have been, what did she, obviously she talked to you.
I, you know what, I didn't even know what to say to her. I kept saying, you know, I don't even know what to say, Bryn. I said, I have no idea even what to say. I'm so sorry. You know, what do you say to somebody who's just been given their life sentence? I mean, you know, what do you say? And, you know, she cried for a couple days, and then she got herself, she pulled a strength from I don't know where that she's never had in her whole entire life, and she started getting positive about everything. She started getting all the paperwork done for when she was gone. She started writing letters to the kids. I mean, just constantly getting on the SSI. Everything she needed to do, she was daily doing that.
And the problem was she was working as a bookbinder, I believe, at the time. And,
correct.
And then when the treatments, the chemo, and then a week later or so, they discovered tumors on her, in her brain, and on her, leaning against her voice box, correct?
Correct, yeah, and in her lymph nodes as well. So, yeah, they immediately put her on radiation.
So she's getting chemo every 3 weeks for 5 to 6 hour sessions. She's getting daily doses of radiation for the brain cancer over a 15-day period. It must have been devastating, I can't imagine, to watch the effect of all of that on her.
Yeah, it was hard. I tried to stay strong for her, but there was moments where, you know, we both would cry, or there was moments where she would cry and I'd be fine, or we'd take turns, you know, so... It was hard, but she was so positive that I couldn't let her see me break. I had to be positive as well for her, because I thought, you know, if she's going to go that route, then damn it, I'm going that route too. So, you know, I kind of helped reinforce her positive feelings and attitude about it as much as I could.
My guest this morning is Dawn Mills. She is the cousin of Brenda Carpenter, who so sadly passed away a few weeks ago, and her story, part of it is chronicled at www.theunsecretshopper.com, and headline, A Promise to Brenda. You and I know each other through my company and through some other sources, and in passing, you had mentioned this several weeks ago, that Brenda was going through very, very difficult times. She was very sick, and she did not really have long to live. There was very little hope, and
correct.
And she had lost her job. She did not qualify for help.
Disability, yeah.
Disability. She was some credit short because she had not worked long enough over her lifetime. And so very difficult circumstances economically before this even happened. I know,
correct.
she was struggling, and what a horrible whammy. And then she has two older boys, each of whom have children due with the women that they are seeing, correct?
Correct, yeah. They're both due in October.
And so for Brenda, this was a goal, that just try to get through to October, be able to hold her first grandchildren.
Well, she's got other grandchildren. She's got three other grandchildren, but it was just kind of ironic how both her older boys had the babies do at the same time in the same month.
Oh, I see. So. Yes. All right. And so trying to get through it, and then I had said I would try to do anything I could. I didn't know what I could do, but I wanted to sit down with Brenda, and this is something that you arranged with Brenda. And,
sure.
And we sat in your home 2 weeks ago. It'll be tomorrow, Sunday. And
mm-hmm.
And Dawn, you were speaking for her. You were describing some things, and Brenda's voice was completely almost gone, hardly a whisper she could manage. She was trembling because of the steroids and because of what 6 medications she was taking and the toll that was taking on her. And
correct.
And she handed me a couple pieces of paper, and she had written out her story as best she could. And I just remember that hour or hour and a half I spent with both of you. And one thing I remember, Dawn, is how strong you were being, exactly as you described. And how you had to be that. You felt, how hard was it to stay that strong for her?
It was very difficult. It's difficult now. I mean, it's even more so now than before, but it was very difficult. I mean, there was many, many nights I cried, and I didn't let her know. And she cried in the mornings before the kids got up, and then she wiped that away, and she just got on with her life for that day. It was difficult, and I my mind just started spinning out of control. What if, when, you know? So, and we had talked about what would happen after she passed away, you know, who was to get the kids, what was going to happen, and we tried to get all that conversation in as much as we could. You know, unfortunately, we didn't get it all, but we did get some.
when you two had obviously talked about who was going to get custody of her two youngest, Madison is 10?
Correct.
And the second youngest is?
15.
And had you two discussed this prior to her becoming ill?
When her daughter was born 10 years ago, yes. On the day that her daughter was born, we discussed that if anything ever happened to her, her daughter would immediately go to me because I have two boys and I didn't want to try anymore to have any more kids. So, and she kept on going until she got a girl. She was very adamant about having a girl. And so we had made a deal that day that we would share her. But little did we know this was how it was going to be.
When that Sunday that I was sitting with you both and we were talking, and I think all three of us, I know I certainly thought, well, we have some months left here that we could possibly, we would do everything we could. I would do everything I could to help raise money and any sort of help we could get for you and her both. And then that night, sometime when she was asleep, she passed away.
Correct. Yeah.
And the irony of that, and of course, there's a lot of things that had to be going through your mind, but I can't even imagine what must have been going through your mind when you got word that she had passed.
Oh, I was hysterical. I mean, I flew in my car. I mean, it took me like probably 4 minutes. I was just waiting for a cop to stop me so I could get a ride. But I flew there, and when I got there and everybody kept shaking their head, I just collapsed to the floor. I mean, I just couldn't believe that she was gone already, because we didn't get her 4 months, and I was mad that we didn't get at least 4 months.
What? How are the kids doing?
Right now, they've been living with me for about a week now, so I've got them settled in and everything. Her daughter's doing really good. She's a tough little girl, and I think she's a lot tougher than people even know, even myself. But she, I think, is kind of repressing a little bit right now. But she does laugh and she does smile, and you know, I make sure I hold her and kiss her and tell her that her mom loves her and everything. You know, we look at pictures together. She doesn't really want to talk about too much, so I don't push the issue. Her 15-year-old was struggling a little bit when he tried to go back to school, so I got him changed in a different school now so that he can go with my son and they can kind of hang together and support each other. And he's a little bit more emotional, I would say, about his mom. You know, I mean, he is the one who found her, so of course that's going to be ingrained in his mind forever. And I have signed us all up for grief counseling through Amanda the Panda in a few weeks, so I think that it will be good for all of us. But right now, we're just kind of going day to day. I mean, it's a surreal situation.
Well, besides the emotional, trying to put all the pieces back together, of course, there's the financial,
the legal, everything, yeah, because we didn't get, you know, she had a piece of paper with her wishes for the custody of the kids on it, but that's all that I received. And so now we have to get legal papers and, you know, deal with her was soon to be ex-husband. She just filed for a divorce 2 days prior to her passing as well. So there's a little bit of legality going in there as well that we're going to have to go through. So,
well, I know that the people who listen to this radio program and who read the blog and people everywhere throughout Des Moines and central Iowa have extremely big hearts. I know you have, and I've had the fortune, the blessed to know you and Brenda both, and I want to do everything I can to help out financially, and anyone who's listening to the radio program this morning can help by, I understand the Hamilton's Funeral Homes, all of the locations in Des Moines, there are, I believe, six.
Correct.
Four in Des Moines, also West Des Moines, Mitchellville, and Altoona, that people can make donations to the Brenda Carpenter Memorial Fund.
That's correct.
The phone number of one of the Hamiltons, I want to give it out. I've been giving out 243-5221, I think is the one on Lyon Street. They can call there, and I'm sure, I mean, they can go online to it, hamiltonfuneralhome.com. There's also a Celebration of Life service, which will be held tomorrow at the Eagles Lodge.
This Sunday.
Yes, Sunday.
Oh, that's right. Correct.
Yes, 6567 Bloomfield Road at 1 o'clock. It is open to the public. And what will that be about, Dawn?
There will be a lot of tears, for one thing, a lot of laughter and a lot of fun, I hope. Brenda wanted us to celebrate her life and not have a, she didn't want a dreary funeral service. She wanted a celebration of life with lots of music, lots of dancing, laughter. And so we're all just kind of going to get up and say little speeches and stories about Brenda and just kind of reunite together as a family and as friends and as strangers. There's also been, you know, an outpouring of compassion from people that we don't even know that have offered their assistance to help with the party and stuff. So it's been great, and we really want to reciprocate that and enjoy and invite everybody to this party as well. So we're looking forward to doing this, especially for Brenda.
Well, she was an extraordinary woman. The little time I got to spend with her and what you've told me about her and shared with me in emails and phone conversations and those lives that she touched all are blessed, and the children are blessed to have you in their lives, and you were so close all those years, and I'm so glad that they have you in their life right now, and the two youngest will benefit from obviously having you.
I hope so. I hope I make a good role model. I'll do the very best that I can. So, I mean, these kids mean a lot to me.
Well, I appreciate you taking time with me this morning, and I'm going to give out the number again, and I just ask anyone who can obviously reach out in any way possible to help you out. And our thoughts and prayers are with you, Dawn, and the
kids.
Thank
you, Johnny. Thank you so much.
Dawn Mills, 1350 KRNT, is going through some tough times. Again, I want to give you the phone number and the Celebration of Life information again. If you'd like to help out Dawn Mills and the family, you know, in pretty tough financial straits, you can call 243-5221. That's the number for Hamilton's funeral home. Any of the six locations can also accept donations in behalf of the Brenda Carpenter Memorial Fund. There are four locations in Des Moines, also in West Des Moines, Mitchellville, and Altoona. The Celebration of Life is tomorrow at the Eagles Lodge, 6567 Bloomfield Road in Des Moines. Is open to the public. It's a celebration of Brenda's energy and love and life. And I'll give you that address and information coming up later on in the program. But coming up next, reader feedback to the Unsecret Shopper radio show, to the blog posts, and to a lot of different subject matter. We'll get to that. And then coming up later on in the program, pet therapy. A man who is trains dogs to be pet therapy pets and is also an actor, has a very interesting backstory. Todd Severus will join us coming up later on in the radio program. You're listening to the Unsecret Shopper radio show, 1350 KRNT.
Hi, I'm Jim Bittner, general manager of Iowa's number one Ford dealer, Charles Gabus Ford. 2010 is over, but what a great year for Ford and us. More Iowans bought their new Ford from Charles Gabus Ford, so come experience just not the Ford difference, but the Charles Gabus Ford difference. We became Iowa's number one Ford dealer by offering great deals on the largest selection in the state. We back that up with the best service after the sale, including oil changes for life. We give you straightforward, bottom-line pricing and use factory rebates you actually qualify for. People like the what-you-see-is-what-you-pay pricing without the games and gimmicks. And don't be fooled by other dealers' ads. Iowa's number one Ford dealer, Charles Gabus Ford, sells for less. Locally owned and a dealer for over 58 years, that's Charles Gabus Ford, or on the web at GabusFord.com.
Big enough to serve you better, small enough to care, Charles Gabus Ford.
Every day, more people are discovering Dahl's Pharmacy. Oh, it's been around since 1952, now in all 12 Dahl's Metro locations. Quietly doing things right. Prompt, courteous service, competitive prices, and real professionals who are happy to offer advice, discuss your Medicare options, or answer any questions you may have. Give your neighborhood Dahl's Pharmacy a try. You'll wish you'd done it sooner. And don't forget your flu shot. Walk-ins are welcome. Dahl's, expect more.
Everybody's talking to computers, they're all dancing to a drum machine. I know I'm living on the outside, scared of getting caught between. We all need the human touch, we all need.
Hope you're getting some human touch this morning at 1350 KRNT, the Unsecret Shopper radio show returns. My name is Johnny Wright with way technology is, it may not even, we can probably live with somebody, not even see them for days, weeks, months. You just text them, sure, email them, give them a quick call. You know, boy, have things changed or what? Yeah, definitely. The times they have changed. There's my cell phone actually going off right this second during the show. Can I live without this thing? Apparently not, because right there was the proof. Coming up later on in the program, it's all about touching. With Todd Tsiveras, he is a dog trainer volunteer for Paws and Effect. He's going to talk about training animals to be therapy, training dogs to be therapy dogs. And there are other kinds of animals that are trained to do pet therapy. And you'll be interested to hear that. And he also is focused on some PSAs that are going to be hitting the Des Moines airwaves. He wrote, and I believe, I don't know if he was in them or, I know he directed, I believe, and wrote, and perhaps is in them as well. And they focus on service dogs helping returning war vets. Of course, animals are so important to us. And I wrote a blog post earlier this week on why dogs matter. That was the name of it, and sort of chronicling my own history of dogs throughout my life, and very, very important. I was once the executive director of the Humane Society of North Central Iowa for a brief period of time, and I wasn't very good at it, and I could not really handle watching those poor animals inside those cages. And that's not the guy you want as the director. It's like my mother, you know, she was in nurses training. And 6 months in, she would try to give an injection to an orange, and she absolutely could not do it. That's when you know, listen, I can't do this. If you can't inject an orange, you got no shot at injecting a human being. You've been injecting your comments, commentary. Readers of the End Secret Shopper blog at www.theendsecretshopper.com. You know, I think we deserve some music. Let me see if I can find a little something here for you. All right. I don't know what this cut is right here. Let's see what it goes. That's a little on the serious side. Okay, let me see if this works. Oh, there we go. That's very nice. Yes, there we go. Yeah, I'm kind of digging that. All right. Read through the old reader mailbag. Let's see what you all have been saying about some of the blog posts that I've been writing about. On why dogs matter, here Amy says. She says, you made me cry and I don't even like dogs. But I loved Wally. Wally is one of the dogs featured. It's a dachshund of mine. Boz and Wally were inseparable. 16 years I owned those two. It was just crazy. Wonderful time together. She just was just thinking about him the other day. I loved how he'd just walk around the radio station like he owned the place. The dogs basically used to live with me at radio stations where I worked over the years. Joni writes, this is complete and utter awesomeness. Thank you for writing about your four-legged friends. Thank you for that comment, Joni. Jamie says, I love your writing, your sense of humor, and your honesty. Keep up the good work. Jamie, God bless you. Thank you for those comments. More comments about A Promise to Brenda, a story that I wrote earlier. And again, you heard from Dawn earlier in the show about Brenda, her cousin, who died so tragically after a bout with stage 4 lung cancer. This says, I knew Brenda briefly because I know her cousin Dawn. I liked her immediately. She was warm and personable. I had trouble believing how suddenly she died. I know that now her children are living with Dawn. And I also know that she will provide the best environment she can for Brenda's kids. We never know when disaster will strike. So each day we should express our gratefulness for those around us. Even though we experience hardships or make mistakes or make bad choices, we should still have hope that things will improve and life will get better. However, it doesn't always work that way, and we have to be prepared for that, too. I will keep Brenda, her kids, Dawn, and the entire family in my thoughts. They were and all always have been good people who have had bad things happen to them. Sully writes, great story, Johnny. This is what you're known for. Thanks for helping this person's story to the forefront of our minds. Hopefully some of your blog followers can help her family. Steve writes, wow, this story brings back memories of my mother. She died fighting cancer in 1989. She was able to fight for 15 years. Sheila writes, thanks for posting this. Sure puts my problems in perspective. And Brooke writes, you're amazing, Johnny, and your promise kept in more ways than one. And then last, James writes, stories like this make me realize that life is precious and you do not know when your hourglass will become empty. Living life the best way you can, like it could be your last, to treat everyone with respect no matter where they are at ladder of life, social station, economic class, sexual orientation, religious background, other factors, as long as you get the respect in return and are treated right. Thank you for sharing this story with us in the blogosphere. Other reader feedback on the Unsecret Shopper story about attorneys. I did a review, a Secret Shopper review of divorce attorneys in Des Moines. Samantha Groenwald from Sullivan & Ward, who was one of those portrayed, says, thank you for the follow-up. What a crazy, great learning experience. I will definitely be working on my introductory smile in future consultations. Thank you, says Samantha. I mentioned she wasn't smiling a lot. She took it to heart. I love it. From Ryan at Hudson, Maloney, Schindler, and Anderson. Ryan Weiss writes, Johnny, thank you for the review. This process gave me a great story to tell over the past week. Not a profession that usually gets secret shop. By the way, you cut my consultation short. I was just about to get into the fees when you spilled the beans. Thank you for your positive review, Ryan. Well, and I met Ryan also, ironically enough, at the Fleur Theater later on. It was like all of a sudden the attorneys were now following me home into where I was going. Ryan, a great guy. Thank you. Bobby writes, divorce attorney. Should have gone to school for that instead. Massive job security. Isn't that so true? Steve writes, Doug Reed. I will use no other attorney for any reason. He is the best. Cindy writes, what a cheery topic. Egads. I added the egads. I thought it was appropriate. Sully writes, Rick Schmidt should know about divorces, Johnny, since he was arrested for abusing his previous wife. Do you think you should give free publicity to someone like that? Indeed. About growing up trailer trash, which was another piece. Yeah, a lot of upbeat stories over the past 3 weeks. No, actually, this one I think was had a lot of tremendous amount of hope in it. Carol writes, Johnny, such a heartwarming and heart-wrenching story. Look how you use your experiences to help others hang on. You're a gift to many that you don't even know about. If you'd like to get in on the responses and the feedback, go to www.theunsecretshopper.com. You can put in your 2 cents worth. If you read a piece you like, don't like, just let me know. Love to hear from you. You can also hit me up at Facebook. I'm there. Also at Twitter at The Unsecret Shopper. I would love to get your feedback to what you read at theunsecretshopper.com. Coming up, what an amazing man. Tom Cerveris is an actor, dog trainer, and volunteer for Pause and Effect. He'll join us next to talk about, how do you train a dog to be a therapy dog? Aren't they just kind of born with that? No, it actually takes quite a bit of training. He'll be in to tell us about that next. You are listening to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show at 1350 KRNT.
Want to save money this month and have a better running vehicle? We can help you with that. Get a $20 instant rebate on all Napa cabin or air filters with the purchase of any oil service this month. The $20 instant rebate air filter special, only from AAA approved Westside Auto Pros. Maintain your car with us. With temperatures falling and Des Moines gas prices rising, it's a great time to consider nitrogen for your tires. Filling your tires with nitrogen instead of regular air will keep them at a more constant pressure in the winter, which helps your car get better gas mileage, and that will save you money at the pump. Ask about the benefits of nitrogen for your tires from AAA approved Westside Auto Pros. Maintain your car with us.
On 92nd Court, just off Swanson Boulevard in Clive.
Hey folks, this is Bobby Hanson. I always took pride in being able to get up and down the court fast. And when it comes to deep winter snow, nothing gets me up and down my driveway faster than my Toro Power Clear snow thrower from Clive Power Equipment. This baby is so easy to use. It's got a push button electric start that fires it right up and a patented power propel system, so there's no more pushing or lifting for you know who. I just grab the handles and away we go. Plus this thing turns on a dime, and with its quick shoot control, the Power Clear lets me change shoot direction on the fly so I can get the driveway cleared and looking good before tip-off. Hey, take it from an old man who still thinks he's got a few moves left. The Toro Power Clear Snow Thrower has all the moves to help you beat old man winter. Check it out at Clive Power Equipment and tell him Bobby sent you.
Also check out the full line of Toro Power Max commercial grade two-stage snow throwers featuring the patented Power Max auger system that cuts down on clogging, interlocking levers for one-handed operation, and quick stick shoot control for quickly changing snow direction. See the complete line of Toro snow throwers at Clive Power Equipment, where the power is. 7600 University Avenue in Clive or 24/7 at clivepowerequipments.com.
How much is that doggy in the window? The one with the waggly tail.
The Unsecret Shopper Radio Show at 1350 KRNT. Welcome back to it. Saturday morning. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Johnny Wright. I'm going to use that bumper since I knew I was going to write a post about dogs. The whole show's going to them. You can check out, well, let's do the weather forecast first, because I think dogs and non-dogs of all species would like to know. Clouds in 28 today. We'll drop to 12 on the overnight. It's been a nice, actually a little bit of a, I hate to use the word warming trend, because I'm afraid God is sitting up there and he's eating dinner or whatever. And he's eating breakfast right now and he's saying, ha ha, oh, that Johnny, that nutty kidder. Let me show him, you know, yeah, there's nothing warm about it. Then bam, you know. I don't know, because I always figure God had a really good sense of humor. I think he does. I think he laughs at stuff. I mean, we laugh at stuff. Laughing's funny. Sure, Low of 12 tonight. Nothing funny about Sunday. A little bit cooler. I mean, it's not hilarious. It just is what it is, right? 18 on Sunday. Stay with me. Monday, snow for Monday, 30% chance. Listen, if you want a coherent weather forecast, tune into John McLaughlin, who's a great guy, and I think, for my money, the best weatherman in really the whole country. Right now, we're at 20 degrees, and dogs. If you go to Why Dogs Matter, if you Google search those three words, you'll come up to my blog post. And a blog is just, listen, this is for a frustrated newspaper guy who can never make it in print. That's all a blog is, really. And if you, or if you just go to www.theunsecretshopper.com, you can see it there. And it is sort of me chronicling my history with dogs throughout my life. Grew up in Cambridge, grew up on a hobby farm. What's a hobby farm, you say? Well, hobby farm is basically you got yourself a chicken. You got yourself maybe a cow, you got yourself a horse, just one, and you've got yourself maybe 1 acre, and then for heaven's sake, you can have no more than one pitchfork. If you have those items, you, my friend, are living on a hobby farm. And so I grew up on one on the outskirts in the suburbs, the West Cambridge district is where I grew up. And we may have had one of all those other things, but there were always raggedy mutts running around, cats. You know, you'd hear, you know, like cartoon sound effect for Warner Brothers where like cats will be like fighting and you hear garbage cans throw around. That's what we heard on a regular basis at night in our hobby farm, because cats would just tear into each other and they'd make up later on, you know, sure, share a little catnip. But dogs, we had many. We had Tobies. There were a couple Toby German Shepherds before sort of my time of awareness. And then the first dog I really remember was Mitzi. She was a Chihuahua that my grandmother purchased. And so, and Mitzi was very prolific. She ended up having 23 puppies. Now, a lot of you are saying, Johnny, listen, you live on a farm, hobby or not, 23 is nothing. Sure. But, you know, hey, I thought it was a lot. I couldn't imagine having that many myself. Couldn't even imagine having one. So there was Mitzi, and she had her puppies, and she outlived most of them. Actually, most of them, you know, died in different ways, some not so pleasant, and I unfortunately got to see some of that. But that's part of growing up that's part of life on a hobby farm. You see a lot of dying and living and birthing and all that goop. And the dogs that really get the most focus on my blog post are Boz and Wally. They were two dachshunds that I got in 1990. I got Boz first from a breeder in southeastern Iowa when he was the runt of the litter. Then Wally was later, about 6 months later. And they became truly the odd couple, one of the most expressive, amazing dogs. And I've had many of them. I've worked with the Humane Society. Truly, for my money, and believe me, they cost quite a bit back then, they were the most expressive, amazing dogs. And of course, I personified them and humanized them as much as I possibly could. So you can read all about that if you go to theunsecretshopper.com. A man who is no stranger himself to working with dogs, cats, animals of all kinds is Todd Severus. He is an actor, dog trainer, and volunteer for Paws and Effect. He joins us this morning. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning.
Todd, talk about your involvement with animals and Paws and Effect. And did you grow up in a home where there were a lot of animals running around?
There was always an animal running around at some point. Yes, I've had dogs, I've had ferrets, I've had cats, I've had a number of different kinds, and it was a natural extension.
And growing up with that and understanding that there is something fundamentally different, I think, about people who do love animals versus people. And it's not that there are some people who just aren't dog people. They just not necessarily aren't cat people. It doesn't make them unloving. But there is something different, isn't there, about people who really love the company of animals?
Well, I think more people probably love the company of animals than even are aware. You know, I can't tell you the number of times I'm walking down the street with my dog and people come up to me and say, oh, my God, he's so wonderful, and they'll stop. I, you know, they couldn't be bothered to talk to me, but my dog will stop and spend all manner of time with him. So I'm just really his agent.
The dog gets the action. Yeah,
yeah.
That's and so your evolution in from now, where did you grow up, Todd?
I grew up in Huntington, West Virginia.
And your travels from that point to becoming a sometime actor to doing some volunteer work for Paws and Effect. Tell me a little bit about that journey.
That's right. Well, it's certainly been long and circuitous, but I met the folks with Paws and Effect when I was wanting to get my own dog actually registered as a therapy dog. Unexpectedly, he's actually American Staffordshire Terrier. A lot of people think he's a pit bull, and he's, you know, very similar to a pit bull, but it's actually a slightly separate breed. But he's not the first dog that people would look to for thoughts of, you know, looking for a warm and fuzzy dog. But he's actually, I always say he has the face of a linebacker and the heart of an angel. He's a real sweetheart. He actually sits with first and second graders, and they read him books, and he lays down beside them and pays them all manner of attention. So that was how I made their acquaintance, and they helped me work and training my dog and get him ready for the therapy dog work.
How does a regular dog become a therapy dog?
Well, it starts off with basic training, sit, stay, come, walking without a leash, what they call a canine good citizen training. And that's the first level. And then the next level is a series of, there's a training the dog to be able to be comfortable around unpredictable circumstances, things that might make beeps or high-pitched whines, or people that might move a little unusually, people that might touch them a little bit more roughly, that kind of thing. And it's just an extension of the same kind of training, but you just then begin to apply it to other skills.
Todd, and I don't know if you know the answer to this, but the idea of therapy dogs or therapy animals of any kind, I suppose that the evolution of that, or the person who sort of invented that idea, it probably wasn't that big of a jump from, hey, dogs are really fun to be around, they feel great, so they can actually be therapeutic.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, it probably wasn't a very big jump to people saying, gee, I like eating apples, to then beginning to realize, wow, gee, apples are really good for me. And I think somewhere along the way, people made that connection with dogs as well. There's a distinction that may be made between therapy dogs and service dogs. Service dogs are specifically trained for very specific tasks that that their owners might need, either in negotiating around, you know, traveling an area, or handling symptoms of things like post-traumatic stress disorder. Therapy dogs are simply trained to be responsible and responsive in a therapeutic environment, and that might be a school, medical facility, hospice care, that sort of thing. And there have been certainly many studies that have demonstrated the values, beneficial values of even simply lowering blood pressure when people are able to come into contact with dogs. But it also just humanizes an environment, ironically, by bringing a dog in.
Isn't that funny? Yes.
Yeah.
What determines, and you sort of touched on it, what determines who qualifies, lack of a better word, to have a therapy dog?
Basically, I think anybody who needs, who might be in a therapeutic environment could benefit from having a therapy dog around. That, of course, is, you know, if they're not allergic to dogs.
Yes.
But there are other therapy animals as well. There are therapy cats and therapy rabbits and bunnies. And there's even been therapy horse and, I think, therapy llama.
Well, I'd hate to be bringing the llama into, like, a hospital, right, or something. I suppose it doesn't quite work that way.
Probably, yeah. You have to match the animal to the environment.
My guest this morning is Todd Cerveris, 1350 KRNT. Todd, the evolution from therapy animal to a service animal, talk about that. We're going to talk about the PSA work that you've done, but that distinction, obviously a higher level of training?
That's correct.
And are you, Todd, and you sort of touched on this, are you involved in the literal training? Do you do training?
I do dog training, yes, therapy dog training. I don't do service dog training per se, although I have assisted in it.
What is that? Is there testing? And let me even ask that from a therapy dog standpoint. Is there a certain criteria of test that those dogs have to pass in order to be certified as therapy dogs or service dogs?
There is. And it can be fairly rigorous. There's an organization that Pause and Effect has recently become an affiliate member of, Delta Society. And Delta Society is probably the premier therapy dog organization, therapy animal organization in the country. And they administer evaluations, and it's a two-part test. The first part is the canine good citizen stuff, and the second is the more advanced, you know, making sure the dog is, or the animal is okay with people, like I say, that might move a little unusually or unpredictably, or sudden sounds, that kind of thing. There's a whole checklist you go through, and in fact, the dogs are reevaluated. The dogs and their partners, the human partners, are reevaluated every 2 years. To make sure that all the skills are being maintained. And they feel strongly enough about the relationship that they have that they actually even go so far as to have insurance so that they wouldn't insure a human and animal pair unless they felt confident in the level of skill and safety with the animal.
How did you get involved with Pause and Effect?
Well, as I say, I first found them when I was looking to get my dog working in therapy dog work. I just had a dog that everybody seemed to love. And I thought, well, it seems like it would be nice, you know, to everybody's benefit to be able to bring him into whether it be a hospital or a school or that kind of thing. So I sort of looked around, and I was in Iowa and in Des Moines, and I looked to see who I could find and met some folks there who were helping me do that kind of training. And then as a result, my background in the arts and things has allowed me to offer other skills that have been of use.
So what brought you, I have to ask, what brought you this far west to Iowa at that time?
I was working and performing in a play out there. And I had a wonderful time, and I've been back there actually several times. I really enjoy it. I have a lovely time. It was very funny. I was visiting with a friend there. We were leaving, and they said, oh, you don't have to worry about locking the door. And I said, what do you mean you don't lock the door? I said, well, no, I mean, you know, then I'd have to carry my key around. I said, you leave without locking your door. This is not a place I'm used to. And I love it out there.
Oh, we leave our cars running in the winter. We leave our doors open.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. I can't believe you guys aren't flooded with more immigrants.
No kidding. I know. Now, Todd, you've lived in the New York area how long?
Well, I've been based in New York for several years now. But I tend to refer to New York as a place where I keep my things because I travel around so often, I never know where I'm going to be. And in fact, recently I was on a 14-month tour to 22 different cities with my dog and my therapy dog, and we went all over the country making friends with hotel bellmen and hotel maids all over the continental United States.
Talk about theater. Talk about your role, your life as an actor, and where it has taken you, and some of the roles and that are more memorable for you.
Oh my gosh! Well, just recently I finished a run in the production of South Pacific at Lincoln Center on Broadway, and that was a lovely time. You know, it was a great production, and we had a wonderful cast and all manner of people coming to see the show, and that was terrific. But I've done everything from, you know, big Broadway musicals to little four-person plays. And I've done some film and television as well. So, you know, kind of go where the work is.
And as an actor, you knew you wanted to be an actor at an early age?
I did. I just I spent a lot of time doing a lot of other things because I wanted to be sure that I had done them before I got around to being an actor. Because once you start this life, there's kind of no turning back.
Well, I did say something earlier that I need to correct the record. I said sometime actor. What, for heaven's sake, that's like someone telling me I'm a sometime blogger. That's
well, I think every actor, because they're always looking for their next job,
yes,
they're always only sometime an
yes
actor.
Oh yes, I know. And that technically is if you're in between roles or you're how often, how many auditions do you go to? What sort of strikes your fancy when you see it in the trade publications?
It's a combination of things. It has to do with you know, the people that are working on the project, the material itself, where you're going to be performing. Money is always, you know, something you want to take into consideration, but it's you don't get into the job for the money. You get into the job for the work that you're doing and the people you can work with. So you always just sort of have to take each job on its own merits.
Well, Todd, I understand that you're going to be and you are actually in this series of PSAs that will be starting in the Des Moines market, correct?
That's right. I'm not actually in them. I actually wrote and directed these most recent ones.
And tell us when they will be in the market and what we should look for.
I'm not exactly sure when they're going to be released. Soon. We've actually recently been learned that we've won an Des Moines Area Addie Award. Exactly what level of award yet we have yet to find out. We will be having an award ceremony on February 19th. And following that, I think, is when the release is going to start. I don't know that we have a specific date. What to look for are, there are five separate spots. Specifically, you'll see issues about how service dogs, and that's different, of course, from therapy dogs, how service dogs are of use to veterans returning home from Iraq and Afghanistan. They have a program with Pause and Effect called We Serve with Honor, and that program seeks to make service dogs available to servicemen and women returning home from the wars and who need either mobility assistance or assistance with symptoms relating from post-traumatic stress disorder. And these dogs have been specifically trained to do, especially like the PTSD dogs, they've been trained to do things like greet people as they're coming so they can establish a friendly rapport with strangers so that when somebody's walking along with a service dog who has PTSD, they can be sure that they're greeted by friendly people and not just strangers coming towards them. Or they do other things like they keep their eye behind them so that the person doesn't have to worry about what they're not seeing. You know, they always have their back, that sort of thing. They also serve as a calm presence in the face of loud noises or sudden noises, so that somebody that has returned from a war zone, you know, if they're walking down a grocery store aisle and somebody drops a couple boxes of pasta and makes a loud rattling sound, you know, to you or me, it might not be anything. To somebody who just recently came back from having, you know, covering fire or suppressing fire being laid down all around, it might trigger different associations. And what these dogs do is they keep an eye on the person that they're with, and their presence and their eye contact reassures them, no, it's okay, everything's fine. So what these PSAs seek to do are elaborate a little bit on what the roles of the service dogs are, what the rights are of the veterans who have the service dogs. According to the American Disabilities Act, service dogs are just like any other piece of medical equipment, and anybody with a service dog is granted full access to any area of public accommodation. So sometimes people get denied access, saying, well, you can't have your pet here. And, of course, a service dog is far more than a pet.
Yes.
So what we want to try to do is make that point. And also, I think we want to raise the issue of providing respect for these people who have come home and sacrificed so much for us. And we'd like to be able to pay them back by giving them the respect, and them and their service dogs, the respect that they deserve.
Todd Saveris, 1350 KRNT. What a cool dude. What a great job. Gallivants around the country, does his acting thing, and then does some volunteer work, and he trains dogs. My gosh, the guy must be busy. Yeah, they're still digging out of New York where he's located at. If you'd like more information, you want to know, maybe you can volunteer. There's local things you can do for the organization that he's involved with, and Pause and Effect. You can go to www.pause-and-effect.com. How did we ever learn anything before we had the internet? We have to like read books or something? Did we just tell each other? You know, I don't know. It seems amazing. Life before the internet is not even, it's hardly fathomable now anymore. And of course, for generations, it's not fathomable. And you know what? That's great, because we didn't have to know what it was like before electricity. Well, you know, some of us were around back then. Hey, I appreciate you tuning into the radio program this morning so very, very much. And I want to give you that information, that contact information again for the Brenda Carpenter Memorial Fund. You can help out, and the family desperately needs your help. Dawn Mills now on her own and raising two kids, which she will be doing with the help of family, of course. HamiltonsFuneralHome.com. You can go there and get their six locations. They're located at 4 in Des Moines, 1 in West Des Moines, 1 in Mitchellville, 1 in Altoona. Call 243-5221. And then the celebration of life tomorrow will be an extraordinary celebration of Brenda's life and the life of those that she touched. That will be held at the Eagle Lodge starting at 1 p.m. at 6567 Bloomfield Road in Des Moines. It is open to the public. Dawn, our best wishes. We're pulling for you. We know you're going to be extraordinary, as you always have been, with everything that you touch. And in memory of Brenda, that is the show for this morning. Have a wonderful weekend and a safe one. We'll catch you back here next Saturday at the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show at 1350 KRNT.
Zero Down delivers style, quality, value, and all-wheel drive at Des Moines Imports. Zero Down also delivers the hottest crossovers with payments as low as $269 a month. Hi, this is Matt Sokolowski, manager at Des Moines Imports, inviting you to the Zero Down Delivers sales event. Kia has raised the bar on crossovers with Sorento and Sportage. Both redesigned for 2011 and top safety picks, Sorento and Sportage are loaded with standard equipment like Bluetooth, iPod USB ports, Sirius satellite radio, and traction control. Right now, Zero Down delivers Sportage for just $269 a month and Sorento for just $279 a month. That's right, Zero Down, just $269 a month for one of the best crossovers on the road. Kia, the power to surprise with a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. Locally owned and proud member of the Gabus Auto Group, Des Moines Imports. Import quality for thousands less. One block north of I-80-35 at the Highway 141 exit, or 24/7 at DesMoinesImports.com.
Every day, more people are discovering Dahl's Pharmacy. Oh, it's been around since 1952, now in all 12 Dahl's Metro locations. Quietly doing things right. Prompt, courteous service, competitive prices, and real professionals who are happy to offer advice, discuss your Medicare options, or answer any questions you may have. Give your neighborhood Dahl's Pharmacy a try. You'll wish you'd done it sooner. And don't forget your flu shot. Walk-ins are welcome. Dahl's, expect more.
And again, if you'd like to help out Brenda Carpenter's family, please go to www.hamiltonsfuneralhome.com. Have a great weekend.